This is Pastor Wayne Waycaster. I hope you enjoy the message that's about to come your way, and I hope it's a blessing to you, or I hope it's a conviction message that'll bring you to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Is there anybody here that hasn't got blessed yet? Let me introduce you to somebody if you haven't. All you have to do at any time is come to this altar and bow down and pray. And somebody will introduce you to the man that will help you get blessed this morning. And Brother Tim blessed me this morning. And you know, as he was talking, I was thinking, I went down the list. Who do I want to see? Well, the first, like everybody else, is Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And not to say, God, I'm here, but just to see. And then I want to talk to Paul. I want to know how Paul did what he did. Where did he get that spirit? And I want to talk to Timothy. And I want to talk to all the apostles. And then I want to go back and I want to talk to the fathers of the 12 tribes and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I can go all the way back and talk to Moses and Noah. And we talked about the family we'd like to see. And you know, as he said that, I said, I want to see my grandfather. And it hit me. I'll be able to run with my grandfather. Before he left this world, he couldn't walk. But we'll run, and he's going to be step for step wherever I go. Amen. Because my book of Revelation says there'll be no more sorrow. We're going to have a new body. We're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of eye, it says in 2 Corinthians, when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of archangel, it says in Thessalonians. And praise God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be called up in the air to be with him in the clouds forevermore with Jesus Christ. That's a fact. That's a promise. That's a check you can cash and not have to worry about. Amen. And being a child of God, you're not only promised that. You know, it says in the second chapter of Revelation that we're going to be saints and priests. Yeah. Saints and priests. You may not think much of yourself now, but look what God thinks of you.
Right.
Going to have a new name. Only us and God know. Us and the Lord. Oh my goodness. I get so excited. I lose my place, think what I'm doing, and I can't even walk. Glory to God. But you have to know the way. And you have to know the way is step by step and day by day. Lord sent me here today with a message and a story. And if I had one of those little felt boards up here, it would just fit so perfectly. But if you would, open up your Bible to Psalm 51. And you may even want to take one finger and stick it over into 2 Samuel chapter 12. I praise God today. You know, God's been good to me. He's gave me more than I could ever deserve or ask for. He gave me a wife that I love and loves me. He gave me a family with two children that are better than I ever was. You can ask my mama about that one. But I just can't praise Him enough. Psalm 51, and like I said, maybe just mark 2 Samuel chapter 12. Psalm 51, we'll start reading in the first verse. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee And thee only have I seen and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, but thou not despise. Do good in thy pleasure and to Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer a bullock upon thine altar. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day that I woke up and breathed air, Father. Another day that I was able to get out of bed. And Father, first thing, kneel to praise you. Thank you for making me able to walk, Lord Jesus, to talk, a voice to speak, a family to hold, and a Savior to love. Father, I ask this day, God, that you look upon the heart of a servant, Father, that didn't deserve you and still doesn't, Father. A man that doesn't deserve to speak your name. And God, I pray that you bless him and let him today, Father, carry your message and be spoke according to your will, according to your love, your grace, Father. Let it be you, Father, and not me. I thank you for my salvation, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity. All these things I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What we have in Psalm 51, and this is probably a familiar scripture to most of us, is a picture of David's repentance. Now, the reason I had you to mark 2 Samuel chapter 12 is that's where Nathan comes to David and shows David his sin. And just to give you some background information on the story, Nathan comes and tells David a parable of the youth. And when David hears that story, he's enraged that somebody would act that way and treat somebody that way. And I'm the king, more or less, he says. And tell me who that was and we'll have him killed. And Nathan, the power of God, stands and looks at David and says, David, that man is you. And immediately, David saw his sin. And I believe immediately, David fell to his knees on the floor and asked for forgiveness. And understand, at this point, when Nathan came to him, it had probably been, and scholars differ on the time frame, but over a year. Because the baby that Bathsheba had was David. So David, for a year, had ran from his sin. Until he got to this point. And this psalm is a picture of true repentance. It is a picture of a man that is broken. It is a picture of that contrite heart, the broken spirit that David talks about. It is a picture of how Christians should come before the Lord daily. You know, day by day we go by and we seem to tend to think that we throw up a prayer to God every once in a while, say, I'm sorry, and it's okay. Sin's still sin. sin is just as much sin before you're saved as it is after you're saved. So if we had to come this way for our salvation, what makes us think that we don't have to come to the rate of repentance daily to get back in the place where we should be with God? Now, many people say, well, I may not sin every day. I sin every day. Not mean to, but I do. And some of the things that God shows me as my sin, some people here may not even think it is a sin. And to not open your heart and let God show you these things is a sin in itself. So daily, we should be right here where David is. And we may say, well, I've not committed adultery and I've not committed murder like David did. Well, to God, sin is sin. Isaiah 59:2, Isaiah says that your sins have created enmity between you and God and have separated you. Any sin. Not one big one, one little one. So daily, when we come to God, this is the way we should come. Humbly. It says in Peter, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So let's look at this, and let's get this true picture of repentance and see if we actually have ever had true repentance. Because the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and that daily it says... Paul says that, I think it's in Corinthians when he's talking about taking communion, how you should look at yourself, examine yourself. And we should do that. But as we look in these verses, verses 1 and 2 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The definition of repentance is a turning away from sin and turning back to God. And sin sometimes is doing the wrong thing, and sin could just be rebellion. Could just be leaning to your own understanding and not leaning to God's, like you said to do. So, with that in mind, verses 1 and 2 make more sense. We have to first realize our position. We have to realize that God's God, and I ain't Him. I don't have the power to say I'm okay. I don't have the power to say that I'm all right, or I've done this good thing, or my mama's leads choir, or my daddy's a deacon, my father's a preacher. God's God. And we all come one way, through Jesus Christ. It says in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man shall enter into the Father but by me. One way. And this is the way, through repentance, through humbleness. That's the way to Christ. And we have to realize that I can't die for the sacrifices of my family, and my grandfather couldn't die for my sacrifice. Only one man. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. One man. Jesus Christ. We have to realize we don't have the power. And nothing we say, nothing we do, no matter how we act, will make any difference. One way. Jesus Christ. That sacrifice. And we have to daily look to that sacrifice to show us our sin. We don't have understanding. We're not divine creatures. We were made just a little bit lower than the angels. We have to look for heaven for that. And when we realize that we aren't divine, we're not God, we're not prophets, we're just children. That's all we can be. A good example of this, and Jesus told a parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee sat in the high places and he felt good about himself and came into church or temple or whatever you want to call it back then, and walked around and strutted, and I'm a good man, I've lived this life. And the publican came in, and the Bible said that he couldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven, but beat his chest, smote his chest, and said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, I'm a sinner." And Jesus said, "Now which do you think went home more justified?" How many times do we come into church like a politician with big money, and, "Well, I helped build this church, or I do this, or I do that." You're not prepared to worship. You're worshiping yourself already. You made yourself a god. Realize your place. Realize that you are a creation of God. You're His child. You're not in charge. He is. Next thing we have to do, look verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Remember, we're not righteous people. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Lord, Lord, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus looked him square in the eye and said, "First, there is none good but God. None." And by another Adam, sin was covered through sacrifice. Jesus Christ being that second Adam. We have to realize we are sinful people. I am a sinful person. The Bible says anyone that says they have no sin is a liar and the truth is not in them. That's why David pled for that mercy. "Have mercy on me, Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Because of your heart, God, because of your willingness to love me and forgive me, have mercy." And then we have to acknowledge our sin and accept the consequences. When Nathan came to David, in 2 Samuel verses 13 and 14, it says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, The Lord has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." There are consequences for sin. It may not always be something visual that you can see, but the one consequence of the sin is separation to the Creator, the man that made you, and the man that loved you enough to die for you. There's always that consequence. And when you go far enough into it like David did and push it back and say, "Well, I'm all right," the consequences get greater. Until you acknowledge before a just and holy God the things that you've done, you will not be forgiven. So, to just sit in the morning and sit down and say, "God, if I've done anything to you, forgive me," doesn't get it. God wants a concerted effort on your part. "Lord, show me my sin. Show me my iniquities. God, tell me what I've done. Let me repent, Father. Give me mercy." That's a contrite heart. That's a broken spirit. That's somebody that God wants to see. That's the sacrifice that Christ deserves. The next thing we have to do is restore. We can have mercy. I'll give you an example. And a lot of people see mercy and grace as the same thing, and it's not. Mercy, when an orphan is walking down the street, you take him in and give him something to eat and drive him to DHS. Grace, you take the orphan in and raise him as your own child and give him the same promises and everything else that your own children have and love him the same way. That's grace. There's a difference. And if you want to be restored to the graces of God, there's some things that you have to do. First thing, you have to ask, just like David did right here. He says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." He acknowledged that, "Hey, God, you took my child, but it was your will. Now give me back that joy I lost, Father. Is everybody here as happy as you were the day you were saved? Some are. Some are more so. Praise God for that. Some are. You know why? You lost your joy. You haven't been restored. You've asked for forgiveness. You've asked for mercy. But you've not asked for restoration. That's something that took me a while to figure out. God, I asked you to forgive me, and I feel like you did, but God, I don't feel like we're together anymore. I don't feel like we're in the same place. Well, it's because I went on a journey and left God behind. And I have to say, God, I'm sorry for that. Please, Father, wrap your arms around me. Let me have that joy back that I've lost. A lot of times, we don't want to do that. But the blood of Christ is for that purpose. The blood of Christ was for grace. We were saved by grace and the faith, not works, lest any man should boast. It wasn't anything we did. All we can do is ask and have faith that it's there. That's the blood of Christ. A lot of churches don't want you to talk about the blood anymore. Oh, don't talk about the blood. Don't talk about that. It's gory and it's gruesome and children don't want to hear that. There's nothing more in the world I'd want my child to hear about the blood of Christ. When we lose the blood of Christ, we lose the purpose of the sacrifice. And it was that blood that cleansed me. Right here when he says, purge me with hyssop. That hyssop is a sprinkling of blood. Purge me with the blood of Christ. Cleanse me from my sins with the blood of Christ. Tim was talking about Revelations. I think it's chapter 7 that talks about, he talks to the angel and he looks out and around the throne there's a multitude of people that no man could count. And he said, who are these? And the angel said, do you not know? He says, these are the ones that have come out of the tribulation and have cleansed their robes with the blood of the Lamb and are made white as snow. Amen. That's salvation. That's restoration. You were created to be one with God. But because of sin, you were separated. Grace restores that. It makes you clean. That's what we have to do. We have to ask for that. It says in verse 7, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's the blood of Christ. Nothing else. Ajax can't take sin off. Only the blood of Christ. It says in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. In verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, law. When the Holy Spirit has left you, you have no doubt about it. It is absolute misery. I've been there. I've been there on the living room floor, laying face down in tears and saying, God, what have I done? Help me, Lord. Forgive me. I miss you, Lord. I want you back so much. Father, take whatever I've got. Take whatever you need. Father, take me. If it need be, Father, take me home now. Just don't give up on me, God. Help me. Take my life. Whatever you need, God. When that spirit leaves, there's nothing left. There's just a shell. There's the same darkness that there was before. That's why the Bible talks so much. Jesus talks so much about darkness and light. It's the filling of that spirit where there's wisdom and knowledge and joy and peace and all these things. But without that spirit, there's an empty shell. There's a hole right here inside where God was. Now, yes, the Bible does say in Hebrews that he will never leave you or forsake you. But he can withdraw himself from you. Doesn't mean that he's given up on you. It just means that he's chose not to look at you because of your sin. Cast me not away, Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. There's only one way to true joy. Only one way to true joy. And that's right here, in repentance. Repentance leads to true joy because it leads you to the place where you're one with God. Have you ever been in a place and you know at that exact moment you were doing exactly what God wanted you to do, saying exactly what God wanted you to say and how He said it? Have you ever been there? That's pure joy. That's that joy that surpasses all understanding. That's the blessings from God that words can't describe. That only comes from the Holy Spirit. That only comes through repentance and humbly putting yourself to God and say, "Here I am, Lord, use me. Whatever you'd have me to be." That's a contrite heart. A heart willing to accept things that we may not exactly want, but it's God's will. And all these, mercy, restoration of grace, lead to one thing. These are the products, the next verses, are the products of repentance and oneness with God. Look at verse number 13. "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." The first product of repentance is service. Jesus came to be a servant, and so should we also be a servant to Him. And we should always be looking to where we can serve God, not ourselves. 1 Corinthians says, "What is expected of a steward is to be found faithful." Faithful to what? Faithful to the Word of God. Faithful in studying to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Faithful to the Great Commission, which says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth." Faithfulness to do and be and say the things that God wants us to be. If you have salvation in your eyes and sat down on a church pew and have it moved, you missed it. Coming to church is not service. It has nothing to do with service. Coming to church is you just showing up. And let me tell you, showing up at the gates of heaven is not going to get you in. There'll be a lot, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, Rob mentioned in that day. They'll say, "Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I taught many great works in your name?" And the Lord's going to look at me, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For I know you not." Many's going to come to church, but many have never looked in their heart and truly repented of who they are and what they've done, and asked to be restored and be truly saved. Because let me tell you something, when you're truly saved, you're different. You will not do the things of the world that you did before. Not and be able to live with yourself. Just like David. In 2 Samuel, if you look at David, when Nathan showed him these things, that he fell to the floor, and in 7 days, I think it was, he laid on the floor and wept and pled to God. He didn't eat. He got to the place where his servants were afraid he was going to die. That's remorse. That's repentance. Have you ever been there? Or was salvation something that you did flippantly? Take 10 minutes, go to the altar, we'll go home, have a party. Just because somebody said that's what you need to do. I didn't get it. First is service. Then verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. The second product of repentance is praise. It's being able to stand before people and say, I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. And it was by only one thing, and that's the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's praise. That's being able to come to church and sing. Lift your voice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And praise Him. And not care who sees or who cares. Just you and God. That's praise. Praise is when you're able to sit down in the evening and open up the Word of God and just be brought to tears because the words that are spoken in that book are spoken to you. And those tears of joy that come and flow, and people look at you and say, he's nuts. Well, I am. My Bible told me to be a peculiar person. That's praise. The way you live your life is praise. Daily. Don't be somebody on Monday you weren't on Sunday. If you close the bars that on Saturday, you're probably not going to be a Christian on Sunday morning, no matter what church you go to. Live your life according to the Word of God. Lean not into thine own understanding. That's praise. When you come to that point, your repentance has come full circle. You've not only asked, but when you answered, you listened. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in every one of our hearts. That's the true worship. When Jesus in John chapter 4 was at the well and met the woman, she said, Lord, I perceive that you're a prophet. He said, yes, you're right. She said, we worship in the mountain, and you Jews worship in Jerusalem. Which way is right? And he said, lack of better terms, lady, you don't know what you worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the day is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of God shall worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's with the contrite heart that's honest, that comes before God empty. Poured out. The Bible, all through the Bible, talks about a heart that's like broken bread and poured out wine. That's the sacrifice God wants. He doesn't have to have your tithe. He owns it all. He don't have to have your presence. There'll be others to take your place. He said in Malachi, I'd just soon shut the doors if you don't offer the right sacrifice. Malachi chapter 1. He doesn't need you to praise Him. He needs you to be willing and open. He needs that heart to be right. And that's really the only duty we have, is to have a right heart with God. But sometimes for a year like David, we turn away from something that is so easy, so free, and so filled with love that to make. I want to ask you today, have you ever found true repentance? Or have you went through the most? Have you ever been truly restored into the graces of God? Or have you just said, I'm sorry, and felt like you were forgiven? And you just felt like you were forgiven because you asked. And have you ever displayed true repentance by your actions? The way you live? The way you worship? By what's actually in your heart, that truth in the inner parts that he talked about up here? I can put on a good show for anybody. I can stand up here and glue fur on me and dance around on the ball and you'll think I'm a bear. And a lot of people do that in church every Sunday to make people think they're Christians. But until you find that true repentance, you will never, ever find true salvation. Tony, would you come play for us, please? That everything that Tim talked about, everything the Bible talks about as a gift from God, must come one way, in true repentance. Now, you may be saved, but you've got baggage you're carrying because you won't bow down and repent. God is offering you a way today, if you've never been saved, to be saved. But if you are saved, and dragging things with you that are pulling you back, to get rid of them. You can leave today free. That's that free spirit that's talked about in Timothy by Paul. That spirit of adoption, where we can cry, Abba Father. And everything that's wrong, he can make right. We don't have to have that spirit of fear anymore. It can be made right. And when you have sin in your life, you may not think you're afraid, but you are, because you're afraid somebody's going to find out about it. When in actuality, God already knows. He's just waiting on you. If you have anything today, please come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your message, Lord. Father, thank you more than all for your love. That God, when we humbly bow our hearts, Father, not just our knees and our heads, but our hearts, you wrap your arms around us, Lord. Thank you for making me an heir to the kingdom of heaven, Lord Jesus. And not only an heir, but a joint heir with Christ. Lord, I pray today, Father, that if somebody here, God, that their joy is gone, Lord, that they would come today, Father, and have it restored. If there's somebody here, Lord, that needs to have a right spirit within them, Father, that they would come today. Lord, if there's somebody here that just needs mercy, God, somebody here that's never experienced grace, Father, I pray today be the day. I pray today would be a day that a congregation, Father, could leave the house of God with no regret. Because today, Father, there's people everywhere all over the country doing that same thing. Because, Lord, they did not want to humble themselves to you. I pray, Father, that none of us will have that regret as we leave. That your Holy Spirit convicts, Father. Nothing that I've said, Lord, but you. That it might be true. Father, all these things I pray in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.